Today we're diving into a seriously powerful Ableton Live 12 technique for jungle and old-school DNB, building a call-and-response riff slice system using macro controls. The idea is simple on paper, but it's huge in practice. We're going to take a short bass or synth riff, slice it into playable fragments, and then shape those fragments with macros so the riff behaves like a musical conversation. One phrase makes the statement, the next phrase answers it. That's the energy we want in the edit stage of a DNB track, right after the drums and bass identity are in place, but before the arrangement is fully locked. This is perfect for breakdown to drop transitions, 8-bar and 16-bar switch-ups, and those classic jungle-style moments where the groove feels alive because it keeps mutating just enough to stay fresh. The whole point is micro-variation. You want the listener to feel, I know this idea, while also hearing, but it's answering me differently this time. That's the sweet spot. Let's build it. Start with a source that already has attitude. You want a riff that speaks DNB language, a short bass line, a re-stab, a Foreman-style synth phrase, or even a resampled mono bass loop. Keep it short, ideally 1 to 2 bars, because the tighter the source, the easier it is to turn into something punchy and edit-friendly. If the sound is too wide in the low end, clean that up first. A riff with too much energy below about 120 Hz can fight your sub and blur the drop. So if needed, use EQ8 to trim the low end before you slice. The key thing here is character. You want enough mid-range movement that each slice still feels meaningful after you chop it apart. Once the source loop feels right, consolidate it so you've got a clean clip, then use slice to new MIDI track. In Ableton Live 12, your slicing mode matters. If the riff has rhythmic stabs or a broken, transient heavy feel, transient slicing usually gives the best jungle-style result. If the phrase is more tightly timed and you want it gridlocked, beat markers can work better. And if there are specific timing details you want to preserve, warp-based slicing can help. For old-school jungle flavor, transient slicing is often the winner because it gives you that broken but intentional feel. The slices don't sound too perfect, but they still land with purpose. That's the vibe. Now we're at the point where the rack becomes an instrument, not just a pile of samples. Think of the slices in two roles, call slices and response slices. The call slices are tighter, more percussive, more immediate. The response slices are a little more open, a little more dramatic, maybe slightly wider or more resonant. Inside the drum rack, organize the slices by behavior, not just by order. Put the most useful hits where they're easy to play or sequence. You can even leave some empty pads on purpose if you want ghost gaps or drum interlock moments. Those gaps matter. In DNB, silence is part of the groove. A really effective pattern is to make the first half of the bar more aggressive and the second half leave room for the drums to answer back. So maybe beat 1 gets a short stab, beat 1 and 3 gets a higher accent, beat 2 leaves space for the snare, and beat 2 and 3 brings in a filtered reply slice. Then beat 3 can carry a deeper note or sub-reinforcement, and beat 4 can end with a tail, a pickup, or a reverse style gesture into the next bar. That's the conversation. The riff isn't just sitting on top of the break, it's talking to it. Now let's add macros, because this is where the system becomes really flexible. Wrap the relevant devices in an instrument rack if needed, and expose the controls that matter most. Good macro targets here are filter cutoff, resonance, drive, decay or release, delay send, reverb send, stereo width, and pitch or transpose for variation. A strong starting set of macro labels might be call, response, grit, air, width, throw, tail, and tension. Keep the names practical. You want to know instantly what each one does when you're performing or automating the rack. For the filter, map cutoff to something useful, maybe from around 120 Hz up to somewhere in the upper mids or highs depending on the sound. Use resonance carefully. A little is great, but too much and it turns into a whistle instead of a movement. For saturation, a small amount of drive can go a long way. If the source is too clean, add a bit of grit, so the slices feel like they belong in a rougher jungle context. For width, use utility to narrow or widen the response, but keep an eye on mono compatibility. You want impact, not phase nonsense. Here's a really useful teacher move. Don't think in terms of how many macros you have. Think in terms of how obvious the movement is. 3 macros that make a clear sonic difference are better than 8 macros doing tiny invisible changes. In this style of music, contrast wins. Now create 2 main states, a call state and a response state. The call state should be dry, tight, focused, and rhythmic. Lower filter cutoff, moderate drive, narrower width, little to no delay or reverb, and a shorter decay or release. This is your statement. The response state should still sound like the same riff, but it answers differently. Open the filter a bit more. Maybe increase drive slightly. Widen the stereo image a little if the sound can handle it, and allow a short delay or reverb tail. Don't wash it out. This is still DNB, so clarity matters. You're after a controlled echo of the idea, not a breakdown cloud. If you're using auto filter, a nice rough approach is to keep the call somewhere in the lower mid range and let the response open into the mids. The exact numbers depend on the sound, but the point is to make the response feel like it's expanding without losing identity. That's the phrase memory idea. You want the listener to recognize the motif even when you mutate it. Now sequence the riff against the drums, not just on the grid. This is where the edit really comes alive. Play slices around snare gaps. Let the riff answer ghost notes instead of masking them. If the break is busy, be more selective with the riff. If the drums are sparse, the riff can carry more of the conversational weight. Think in two-bar sentences. That's a really useful way to approach jungle phrasing. One bar makes the statement, the next bar gives the reply. If you get lost, simplify back to that. A strong two-bar conversation almost always sounds better than a cluttered eight-bar loop. Then bring in automation, but do it with purpose. Don't move everything all the time. That's one of the quickest ways to kill the impact. Instead, write broader macro automation over 8 or 16 bars. Let the groove stay stable for a few bars, then gradually open the filter, add a touch of drive, or throw a delay only on the last hit of a phrase. A classic DNB shape is this. Bars 1 through 4 stay relatively stable, bars 5 through 8 increase in energy, and the final beat of bar 8 gets a delay throw or a pitch-up fake-out. Then the next 8 bars can strip things back or flip the response shape so the section develops instead of looping flat. A really nice advanced trick is to link one macro to several behaviors at once. For example, a tension macro could open the filter, increase resonance, and slightly narrow the stereo width all at the same time. That way, as tension rises, the riff gets more focused and aggressive. That's way more musical than random parameter twiddling. Another big concept here is negative space. If the drums are already implying the answer, let the riff disappear on that beat. The absence can hit harder than another note. In jungle and old school DNB, that kind of intentional gap makes the whole groove breathe. Once the pattern feels good, resample it. This is a huge move. Route the rack to a new audio track and record the best pass. Then chop the strongest bars into one bar or two bar audio edits. Keep only the tails that really support transitions. Reverse a hit here and there. Nudge a slice slightly if it helps the swing. This is where the edit becomes a real asset instead of just a live MIDI performance. Resampling is especially valuable in jungle because the committed audio often sounds more live than a perfectly quantized loop. You capture the exact groove, the little automation movements, and the edge that makes the section feel human and dangerous. Before you call it finished, shape the riff bus lightly so it sits with a break and the sub. Use a QA to clean mud or harshness, a little saturator for glue and character, and maybe the glue compressor if it needs gentle control. Keep the gain reduction light. You want the drums to punch, the sub to stay stable, and the riff to stay readable on smaller speakers. A few common mistakes to watch for: making every slice too different, drowning the response in reverb, ignoring low-end collisions, placing slices randomly instead of in conversation with the drums, and automating too much all the time. Also, don't forget to resample the winning pass. If it feels right, commit it. That's how you turn a cool idea into a usable arrangement element. For darker or heavier DNB, there are a bunch of great variations. You can narrow the response slices with utility so they feel more focused. Add subtle grit with saturator or overdrive, but keep the low end clean. Use a very short filter envelope so each hit blooms after the transient. You can even duplicate the rack, process the copy with heavy saturation or redux, and blend it in quietly for extra top-end aggression. If you want old school weight, try layering a rounded slice pass with a sharper attack layer. If you want neuro-adjacent tension, automate resonance and drive together at the end of a phrase, but stop before it gets honky. And if you want that classic broken-era flick, use reverse slices or tiny pre-hit pickups before snares. Here's the real takeaway: slice a strong riff, map it into a rack, assign meaningful macros, and use contrast to create conversation. Build from a source with character, keep the core identity intact, write the edit against the drums, automate with intention, and resample when the groove locks. If you do it right, you get that amazing DNB feeling where the riff is always evolving, but the identity never disappears. Old school movement, modern control. That's the mission.